be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaSports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. I hope all is well where you live, especially of those of you along the Gulf Coast that have been impacted by Hurricane Isaac. It's rain than winds this time, but rain amounts up to 20 inches of rain. It's just unbelievable, and I guess we may be getting some of that rain here in Indiana this weekend, and that plays into racing because this weekend, the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals up in Indianapolis. I plan on attending, but we may be swimming. Who knows? They're looking for possible rain this weekend. We will be talking about the big go on the show today. We'll have Tim Wilkerson on board, who right now is out of the top 10 in points in Funny Car. This is the last race to get into the countdown to one, so he's going to be trying to do that. We will talk to Karen Stoffer, who is in Pro Stock Motorcycle. She is fifth in points right now, and talked to her a little bit about the year of the woman, it seems, in NHRA. We're also going to find out about the Lime Rock Park Historic Festival, their 30th annual coming up this weekend. They're going to have Sir Sterling Moss on in. How big is that? But first, let's talk a little IndyCar action. It's a busy time for the IZOD IndyCar Series. Last week at Sonoma, this week on the streets of Baltimore. And last week, well, this young man broke through with a win that was long in coming. I was kind of surprised to have been back to 2010 the last time he won, but he was able to hold off his teammate and get the win for Team Penske, and that is Ryan Briscoe. Ryan, congratulations on the win. Had to feel awfully, awfully good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I just said it was it had been a little bit too long, so what a feeling to get back in victory circle. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, as I said, I was kind of shocked that it had been so long since 2010. For some reason, I thought you had won. It just felt like you had won last year.
Yeah, I know. I wish we had more races in a season. It probably wouldn't have been that long. But no, I mean, we've been up there at the front, you know, having a lot of good races and just haven't been able to execute and get the wins. So, you know, it's good to finally, for the whole team, you know, for all the guys working on my car, my engineer, he's a new engineer this year, so it's his first ever IndyCar win for Jonathan Duguid, and great for everyone on the team to just give us that confidence boost going into the final two rounds this year.
Now, Sonoma, for whatever reason, has been an awesome racetrack for you. I think it was second, third, and fourth. I mean, you've never finished worse than fourth there.
Yeah, no, it's been good the last sort of 5 years there. I actually got my first ever pole position at Sonoma back in 2005 when I was with Ganassi. So I love the track. I think, you know, I'm always able to do well and push the car hard there. And, yeah, I mean, Sonoma was just a great race this year, and it was fun to, you know, hold off Will for the win at the end.
How much has the racing changed this year with the new car? It seems like there's a lot more contact, and we're seeing now penalties being handed out for avoidable contact, it seems, left and right. But it seems everyone's really up on the wheel, and almost looks like a NASCAR race. A lot of beating and banging going on, especially on road courses.
Yeah, it's true. I think the cars are very strong. You know, Dallara's done a good job building a strong and robust suspension package. You know, you can get away with touching cars and not damaging your own. But at the same time as doing that, you know, penalties are being handed out. So, you know, it's a bit of a catch-22. So it's tempting, but you will get penalized if you do something on purpose.
But don't you have to be aggressive in these races? When you find an opening, take it, and there's always the background that chance that it's going to be called from race control of avoidable contact, and suddenly you've got a drive-through penalty.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we're not totally against rubbing wheels a little bit. But, you know, you take an accident, like what happened with, you know, Alex Tagliani and Hunter Ray on the weekend, and, you know, there's no doubt that they've got to give a penalty to Tagliani for that, you know, because there's nothing Hunter Ray could have done, you know, he just got run up the back of. So, you know, I think, you know, had Tagliani got down the inside of Hunter Ray, they'd rubbed wheels a little bit, I think that would have been really good racing, and see what happens from there. But, you know, I think it's fair that, you know, penalties are being handed out. We don't promote punting, but we do want to have good close racing where a bit of contact is allowed.
Ryan, do you feel like a big weight has been lifted off your shoulders with this win?
You know, it feels good. I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to get everything sorted for next year. I'm not sure where I'm going to be at this point, but certainly getting a race win doesn't hurt anything at all. And, you know, I'm in a position now, eighth in the points, and some 25 or so points out of fifth place. So, you know, the big goal in the last two races to see what I can do. And, you know, if I can get fifth in the points, that's going to be huge for me.
And also with a teammate, Will Power, who's leading the points, it could actually wind up winning the championship this weekend at Baltimore. How much does that play in what you do? Because, I mean, Penske wants to win, obviously, the championship this year in the IZOD IndyCar Series. He's got a great chance with Will Power, with the lead he's got here. Do you become somewhat of, I don't want to say a defender of Will Power on the racetrack, but a guy that's trying to grab positions because that helps Will out as the race unfolds?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you know, I've got to go to the race, you know, as a professional and go in there to do my best and to try to win the race. And then, you know, whatever happens after that, you know, it might be up to the team to decide. But my goal is to go there and be the quickest guy and win the race. In a situation like Sonoma, Will's rivals are taking care of themselves, really, to get themselves out of the championship. You know, Will came second and got a 30-point boost in the championship standing. So, you know, I think circumstances have to let themselves play out. But right now it doesn't look like Will needs a whole lot of help.
They did a few little tweaks to the race course out at Sonoma for the IZOD IndyCar Series last weekend, and they're going to do the same thing in Baltimore this weekend. The long main straightaway, which had a chicane, which obviously was there to slow everybody down because there were railroad tracks on the other side of it, and didn't want to hit the railroad tracks at high speed, and then some of the corners maybe making them a little more passing zone. How anxious are you to get out on the track actually in a car to see how much that affects you?
No, I can't wait. You know, practice will be on Friday morning. We'll get out there and see what it's like. I think for Baltimore, the changes being made are, you know, going to be good for safety. I know one of the chicanes has been changed just to make it a little bit safer. I think the chicane that was on the backstretch before the railroad tracks, that'll be good to get rid of because it'll make our front that straightaway a bit longer and improve chances of passing down into the next corner. So I think the changes, they sound like they're good, but I've only seen it on paper, and it'll be fun to get back out there and give it a run in the IndyCar.
How much did you enjoy the race last year? The fans were fantastic. I was on hand for the weekend, and it was just unbelievable considering that Friday we didn't even get on track till what, 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and they just had the place packed every day.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, a brand new track like that in a market where we don't really go too much, and I guess we should have been going there long before because, I mean, the place was just absolutely packed. A great atmosphere. There were parties going on all over the place. Tons of celebrities showed up as well for the race. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. So if it's anything like it was last year, this year is going to be great.
Yeah, I expect it will be because the fans, everyone I talked to after the racing were saying, boy, we really enjoyed this and we're going to be back next year. And they were just fantastic with the harbor there and the setting. Yeah. And, of course, Michael Andretti now is the promoter of the race. It all seems to come together.
Yeah, I mean, he knows how to promote races and has done a great job over the past few years with the St. Pete race and now picking up Toronto as well and now Baltimore. So, yeah, those guys are doing a great job promoting and doing what we need to do to keep the growth of IndyCar going in the right direction. So races like Baltimore, I mean, we need more of those. It's a lot of fun for us, and it's great for the fans.
Ryan, you kind of touched on this earlier about next season. Are there options out there available for you? I mean, could it be you still wind up with Roger Penske? Are you going to be going somewhere else, or sports car racing, which you've done in the past? Or what exactly are you looking at or thinking about?
Well, I mean, I'm not excluding anything, and I'm not excluding the possibility of still being exactly where I am right now. But, you know, I don't have anything confirmed and in place at this point. But, you know, I'll be in IndyCar. That's my one and only goal, is to come back, keep fighting for a championship and an Indy 500. You know, that's what I want to do here in the next, in my next foreseeable future. But there appear to be options. We're just sort of weighing them out right now, and hopefully here in the next couple of months get something locked down.
How tough is it, though, not knowing where you're going to be right now as the season winds down, and putting that little extra pressure on to do like what you did last weekend, get the win, although there's always pressure to win. That's why you start the race, is to win the race. But what's that like as a driver? You haven't been through this for quite a while.
Well, I mean, I guess I was in a similar position last year too. So it's a bit of a nature of the beast, actually, in motorsport. It's beautiful when you're doing well, and you know, sometimes daunting because you never know what can lay ahead of you. And you know, I'd love to get a lifetime contract like Jimmy Johnson has, but he's won 5 championships. So, you know, you just got to keep pushing hard every week and being professional, and keep trying to work on your weaknesses and exploiting your fortes, and going out and winning races. You know, that's what it comes down to. So, you know, pressure is a part of the sport, and, you know, it's probably what makes it, you know, all the more exciting.
Absolutely so. Well, Ryan, I want to again congratulate you on the victory last weekend out at Sonoma, and best of luck in what I think is one of the really beautiful venues for a street circuit, that is Baltimore, coming up this weekend.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Ryan Briscoe, the winner last week in the Izod IndyCar Series out at Sonoma, formerly Infineon Raceway, and they lost the sponsorship, so now it's just Sonoma again, which is what we used to call it all the time. And looking to get another win, obviously, this week or at the season finale, and with his status being up in the air going into next year, he could wind up at Roger Penske again. I don't know whether Chip Ganassi, he might, since he actually has 4 cars, bring him back on board, since Ryan did drive for him at one point in time. And there's a lot of other quality rides available in the Izod IndyCar Series, but obviously, as Ryan said, he wants to stay in that series. Well, this weekend here in the state of Indiana, it is the big go. That's the U.S. Nationals, NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series, which, by the way, is going to become Mellow Yellow next year. Mm-hmm. They're doing a name change, another one of the Coca-Cola products. Anyway, we're going to talk about that, and first up, when we return, we'll talk to a gentleman who's trying to get into the Countdown to One, Tim Wilkerson, who drives in Funny Car. When we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power of Motorsports Series at VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
It's the big go, the U.S. Nationals coming up at Indianapolis this weekend. And for several drivers, it's, well, do or not be in a chase for the championship. The countdown to one is going to begin after this weekend. And one of those gentlemen on the outside looking in joins me now, and that is Tim Wilkerson. Tim, you're out there in the 12th right now. You're not that far behind. A good weekend, and you're in.
Yeah, that's really, really the long and short of it there. We just need to have a couple of three other teams have a bad weekend and us have a good one, which is possible.
Well, you're only, I believe, about 30 or 40 points out of the 10th spot. Now, you do have the defending series champion, Matt Hagen, in front of you, who's also out of the top 10.
Yeah, it's, we said at the beginning of the year here that, you know, there's going to be three or four pretty good cars that don't make the top 10. I didn't expect it to be me, but it's been one of those years where sometimes things just don't go right. But, you know, the problem with you know, betting against one of the multi-car teams is they have way too many teammates to help them out before it's too late. So we got to pray for a little good luck. We got to make sure that the, you know, the Schumacher cars don't all end up on the same side of the ladder, and maybe that one of the you know, the Toyotas will have some bad luck, and we can just pass right by them.
Now, in Brainerd last time out, you had some pretty quick speeds. That might bode well for you at Indianapolis.
Well, yeah, the car's coming around. There's no doubt that ran good at Seattle and Brainerd. Really, we should have won the race at Seattle. We just raced the wrong guy second round. Caps was the absolute only guy in the whole round that could beat us if you look at all the times and reaction times, and he's the guy we raced. So if we had raced Matt Hagen second round at Seattle, we wouldn't have been having this conversation. So it's all in a little bit of a luck of the draw, and unfortunately we've had some tight races through the year, but that's no excuse. We need to... We have our own destiny in our hands now. We just have to make sure that we control it.
The U.S. Nationals are big enough in their own right. What does this do to add pressure to the situation this weekend?
I really don't get too nervous about it, believe it or not. It is what it is. There's no way to change it at the end of the day. We're just we're happy to be involved with you know, Full Throttle Drag Racing for our sponsors, Levi Ranch Shop, and, of course, Ford Motor Company. So if it's... supposed to be, it'll be, and we have a good car, so we just need to do our own thing and not worry about the other guy in the other lane. I've never been somebody that worried about who I raced, so and if we can do the right job, it's really not going to make much difference what the rest of them do.
Speaking of Ford, Bob Tasca the third, another Ford driver, holds down that 10th spot. He may be the guy you put on the sideline.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, Bob and I. We know that that's a possibility, and at this point in time, there's you have no friends. So, unfortunately, Bob may be, if we make it into the top 10, Bob may be a victim, and he knows that, though. So, you can't come down to the last race and have two or three of the same people have the same problem. I mean, even Force really is, if he hucky pucks at all, two or three of us could go by him, and he could end up in the 10th or 11th spot, too. So, it's really... it's really just going to be how it all falls out on race day. So first thing we'll do is go there and make our car qualified, and hopefully we can make some rounds. And some of the bonus points, we picked up, I think 10 or 11 bonus points in Brainerd. If we can do that, then we'll be, you know, less than a round ahead of Matt then. So all we have to do is go one, or behind him. All we have to do is go one round more than him instead of two. So you really can't count on everybody else to get beat. You just got to do your own deal.
I know the Safety Safari guys do a real good job of getting the track ready, but at the U.S. Nationals, there's cars on the track at 7:30 in the morning with some of the ranks that aren't pro. How does that play into anything you do later on in the day when you're making runs on the track?
Well, traditionally, when the heat's out, you don't have a really good track at Indy. It's old, and you know it is what it is, so you can't really fix it. And you know, a mid to high teen in a funny car is usually a pretty darn good run on race on, you know, any time after first round if the sun's shining and it's 85 or 90 degrees outside. So in the past we've run, you know, 14, 15, 16 there during the day, and been one of the top three fastest cars. So hopefully we can keep our composure about us. And first round is just going to be the turning point in reality, in my opinion. If first round goes well, I really feel like I got a darn good chance of being in the top 10. So, but first round's going to be, it's going to be the kicker. So my goal of the weekend is to try and qualify high enough where I don't have to race, you know, a quality car first round. Not that they're all not quality, but you know what I mean? If you can qualify one, two, or three there, I think you have a better chance of racing maybe a part-time car instead of, you know, one of the hot rods.
So what you feel like you need to do is post a very good time on the first qualifying run so that you're in that top 16 when all is said and done, actually higher than that as they begin the qualification so you can move on.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go for the Augusta where we run, to be real careful with you. There's not going to be any run that we don't try to be the fastest car down the track. And really, we have to do that because any extra point we can pick up, that'll be good. They ain't going to do us any good to be in the middle of the pack at every run and say, oh, well, great, we're seventh. Well, look who we've raced, you know, Johnny Gray first round. Well, that's not good. So we need to be in the top three or four every single run.
Yeah, and a national record, obviously, is out of sight at Indianapolis with the way that the track is, as you were talking about.
Yeah, I would highly expect that low qualifier there will be a 402 to 405 in that area, depending on how hot it is outside and what the clouds and the humidity and things do. But we went 404 at Brainerd, and that was probably one of the best runs we've ever made in our lives. Track condition, you know, based on everything you've seen there. So if we can work off of that and run a little bit better when the sun's down in Indy, which would be an 03 or something, in my opinion, I think we'll end up in the top three, and that's what we need to do. But unfortunately, there's probably 20 other cars got the same mindset.
How much does that track change when you have that night run?
Well, traditionally, as soon as the sun goes down at Indy, the track conditions really improve. So, and like you said about NHRA, the Safe Safari, they really go out of their way to drag the track and spray the track and make it as good as they can. And you're going to get to see that there because they, you know, it's a premier show. There's no doubt about that. The fans come for the Friday and Saturday night qualifying shots, and that's what they want to see. So last year it wasn't very good at Friday and Saturday night. A lot of people smoked the tires. I think I went a 13, and I was fourth or fifth fastest car, and then on Sunday everybody kind of came around, the track got better, and in fact I think my son actually went 409 or something, he was fifth or sixth. So it shows you that really the track's a little bit dicey there, but just because of its age, you know, you can't really change the texture of that asphalt when it's 20 years old.
Does any of the Traxxas Nitro Shootout play into this? I mean, eight funny car guys, gals are going to be participating in that, and that's extra runs for them and wear and tear on the crews and going down the track. Could that play into what happens when you have Championship Monday?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we've been in that the Skull Shootout and the Big Bud Shootout every time it was there, and it changes your mindset a little bit, but the two of the qualifying runs are still... they still count. Two of their elimination runs are still counted as qualifying runs. So, you know, when you're trying to be tactful about it, you're going to be staging light, and so you get the best ET, and most of those guys can't race that way. there's just a few of them, Caps and maybe Johnny Gray, just two or three of them that are light stagers. The rest of them are top ball blinkers. So that's going to help us in that fight to pick up qualifying points if they all, you know, have that mindset going into it. So I don't know. I never got real wound up about those shootouts. Just kind of let them play for what they were and did really well in them. But I don't know. Different people think of them a different way.
Tim, do you feel good about where you are, the way the team ran in Brainerd the week before going into Indianapolis, that you have got a real good shot at this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very optimistic. My guys are upbeat, and that's, you know, trying to keep morale up because we've been such a good car for the last three or four years that, you know, when you stumble a little bit, last couple of years we really haven't been as good as we wanted to be. And trying to keep the guys' chins up is a lot of hard work. But the last couple of races have shown them a lot of optimism, and, man, they're working hard now. We match raced last weekend at Cordova, Illinois, and that place is like running down a a dirt road the last 500 feet. I mean, it's a terrific track, the first 300 or 400, but they just don't see our caliber of cars enough to make the track good. So you really had to do things you never do to make it go down the racetrack. So we did good there. So everybody's upbeat, and that's a big part of it. Believe me, the old saying in the Wilkerson camp is the attitude of the crew is depicted on the last ET slip. So we need to really keep that. You need to keep that morale up because the car knows that. It sees it, believe me.
Tim, we wish you the best of luck coming up at the U.S. Nationals, and we'll see you in Indy.
Thanks a lot for your time, and thanks to Ford Motor Company for being part of our race team. They're a big part of it, and we need them, so we're going to try to make them proud.
One of the really nice guys in motorsports, Tim Wilkerson, the Levi Ray and Schaup Ford Mustang Fenny car. We'll see if he can unseat. Unfortunately, it would be Bob Tasca III, who is currently in 10th. But then Bob could go up in points also this weekend. So it's not necessarily he's going to knock him out. Lots of things can happen. But the pressure is on to get into that countdown to one. He has been running strong. But who knows at Indianapolis with all the pressure on this weekend and the thousands upon thousands of fans that do attend. If you've never been there, you really, really should go just on the west side of Indianapolis or what we used to call Indianapolis Raceway Park, and that's what it's going to be for us old schoolers. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the big go and move over to Pro Stock Bike, the motorcycles. We'll talk with Karen Stover, who's fifth in points going into the weekend. When we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series, VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
This weekend, it's the big go. The U.S. Nationals up in Indianapolis. And is this the year of the woman in NHRA? We've already seen, of course, Erica Enders, who has won 3 times in pro stock. We have seen Courtney Force win in her rookie year in Funny Car. And this young lady has already qualified for the countdown to one. She is fifth currently in the points in pro stock motorcycle. And that is the driver of the Geico Power Sports Suzuki, Karen Stover. Karen, first, congratulations on already being locked into the countdown to one.
Oh, thanks. It's really good. You know, it kind of takes the pressure off a little bit when you already have it locked in. The spots aren't locked in, but at least you know you're going to be in the top 10. So that's a good feeling when you're going into the big go.
Yeah, and things happen at Indianapolis. I remember a couple of years ago when I think it was Lewis Tonga came out of nowhere and started winning, and it started at the U.S. Nationals, and then he went on to win the championship that year. So anything is possible.
Yeah, you know, it is definitely the transition point, not only it being, you know, very publicized big race and a lot of races within a race. It's definitely where the teams are all geared up and try and get their momentum going for the countdown. The countdown actually starts the next race, but this is a great momentum and a great starter for it. So they definitely prepare to bring out all the guns, and that's kind of the strategy of drag racing. You know, a lot of people just sit back and get content being in the top 10, and then when they know they're locked in, then they start pulling out the arsenal and start really doing well and do plan on doing good for the countdown.
Well, one of the things that most people would be doing at this point when you're already locked in before the countdown to one begins is do a little testing along the way. But this is the U.S. Nationals. This is the biggie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and so actually they had a big test session before the U.S. Nationals, so they're not doing any testing. They're actually, and I think that's why I say they bring out the big guns going into the big go, is because, you know, they want to get their testing all done before, and they really want to use this as the benchmark or the catapult into the countdown. So, yeah, there's definitely, right now we're at Indy, and it all counts. It's one of the biggest races of the year, and you're definitely going to see some exciting racing and probably a lot of fast times.
How do you feel about your year today going into Indy?
You know, it's a little mixed, you know, quite honestly. The Pro Stock Motorcycle class is probably one of the most interesting classes and unique, especially this year because of our OEM and manufacturer challenges that we have. You know, we're the only pro class really that has still totally different motors and engines, and trying to get parity across that class is very challenging. So I think our year has been really good as far as tuning and riding, but as far as the rules and the horsepower alignment across the different manufacturers, it's just really challenging. There's so many races that we could have and should have won had we had a little bit more horsepower, had the rules been forgiving to us and given us a little more CCs, you know, where the Suzuki's are running the smallest engines out there. You know, they're 107 cubic inches, and you got the big old Kahuna motors out there that are running, you know, 141, 161. So it's really challenging, and I give props to the team for throwing down, you know, we've got the fastest Suzuki currently. You know, Ellie and a lot of the other riders can come up and change that going into the countdown. But right now, our Geico Power Sports Suzuki is definitely the fastest Suzuki out there. But, you know, when you compare them up against the V-Rods and Twins out there, it's nothing.
Yeah, the Harley-Davidson's 1 and 2 right now, and the Buells with the Arana's Hector Sr. and Hector Jr. Right in front of you. So it's got to be a little tough to get the horsepower, but this is a weekend at Indianapolis. If the sun is shining, which hopefully it's going to be doing, that racetrack is a very tricky one. It can even things out a little bit.
Yeah, you hope so. And we affectionately call those top four riders up there the 4-H Club, and we keep trying to knock on that door to get into that 4-H Club. But you're right, it definitely can be a tuner's race out there. And it could be more challenging, but usually when it gets to that point, the Suzuki's, the inline fours, they're very finicky because we run them at such high RPM and they're maxed out so much that they're not very forgiving, where those other big V motors tend to be a little more forgiving. So hopefully it'll even things out, but, you know, we've seen stranger things happen where, you know, it could just go either way as far as the racetrack goes and how you tune to it.
We're talking with Karen Stouffer here in Pit Pass USA, who drives the Geico, or should I say rides the Geico Power Sport Suzuki and Pro Stock Motorcycle in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. She is fifth in points, already locked down in the countdown to one, which begins after the U.S. Nationals this weekend. Karen, can you explain to those people that really don't follow NHRA that much what the U.S. Nationals mean to someone?
You know, it's definitely the biggest race of the year, and why that is because it's kind of where motorsports and racing and all of the engine and car builders, it's kind of where the hub is. If you think of Indianapolis, you think of it as definitely motor industry. And, you know, there's been so many historical events that have taken place there, and so many great riders and drivers who have participated. And the biggest thing about this race is you get all the superstars and the heroes and the competitors from the days past out there And they're all supporting it. If they're not actually racing and riding, they're actually supporting it, which is very cool. But, you know, it's also the only one of the only races where we have multiple races inside of the overall big event. So not only do you have the competitors out there racing for, you know, the at the end of Monday standing up saying I'm number one, but you also have two races inside that where you've got people standing up saying, okay, I'm number one for Saturday, and I'm number one for Saturday in Funny Car. So there's just a lot of activity, a lot of hot rods, a lot of old cars, a lot of returning veteran racers, a lot of the new racers coming out. It's just a very, very large event, very well planned, and it's always exciting. There's always something going on.
And if there's not hundreds, there could be thousands of amateur drivers in their ranks. I know they start very early in the morning. I usually stay at a friend's house that's he's 8 stoplights away from the racetrack, and I walk out the front door at maybe 7 in the morning to go get breakfast, and I hear cars on the track already going down the strip. I mean, the place is packed with everybody.
Yeah, you know, and really, you're right. The sportsman racers are definitely up early and very late. They're usually first out and last in, but it's definitely prestigious to win Indy. So yeah, we have a lot of competitors that come out for this race and vie for that big old Wally at the end from that actually says Indianapolis on it, because it's definitely a huge prestigious race.
Karen, I mentioned that is this the year of the woman in NHRA with the way that Erica Enders is going right now? I mean, she's won 3 races and a couple in a row. Courtney Force getting her first win in her rookie year. Alexis DeGioia's gone to finals in Funny Car this year. You're right now already locked into the countdown. It's hard to find another area of motorsports where women are doing so well throughout the ranks.
Yeah, it's definitely been a cool year for that. You know, all of them, Erica, Alexis, Courtney, it's been a huge year. They've been definitely improving. And of course, Erica, we knew as soon as she got one, they were going to start rolling in. Definitely huge props to all of them, but definitely Erica for her 3 and the 2 back to back. But you know, that's the wonderful thing about the National Hot Rod Association. It's flexibility, it's versatility, and it's diversity. I mean, basically anybody can be out there and do what they want to do if they have the passion. There's definitely a path and a method to get there, and it's just very cool to see that so many people of all ethnicities and of all diversities are out there racing and able to do good. Specifically the Year of the Woman, well, I know that there were 2 ladies standing on stage one time at the end of the event and the end of the weekend. I'd certainly love to be up there when there's 3 one time or 4. That'd be definitely a huge honor, and I hopefully it'll happen.
Well, I think it's a very positive, though, that you're doing well, they've been doing well, that it shows if you come in and put in the work, you can get into this series, and it's what you do down on the racetrack along with your crew. And I think it says a lot, and I look around and I see, you know, this woman being hyped over in this sport, and there's maybe 1 or 2, and they're not winning races or competing really for wins. And then I go to NHRA and I see all these women are giving the guys a really rough go of it. And I go, why aren't more people paying attention over here?
You know, and I'm not sure that they're not paying attention. They're definitely, my fan base has made a little shift. I definitely was very strong in the women and children, but it definitely even more so now. The ratio has changed even more. I think if you go out to the event and you walk around, you see a lot more women and women and kids, and not necessarily the families. I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot of families out there, but sometimes it's just moms bringing their daughters, and I think that's the coolest thing is, you know, it's whatever you're passionate about, you can do it, and I think that just shows that you have a lot of, heck, I get some fans who come up that are just a group of girls out for the weekend, you know, took a vacation for the weekend. So it's definitely a sport that's diverse, it interests everybody. Again, even the little kids, and that's the cool thing about it.
Well, Karen, I want to wish you the best of luck this weekend at Indianapolis. I hope to bump into you if I get my project, bathroom plumbing project that is taking me right down the river along with it done by the time we get into the weekend at Indy.
Well, it certainly sounds like a fun project, and I definitely hope you get it done so you can come on out there. But, yeah, definitely venture over, and we'll chat for a while.
Okay, have a great time. Safe travels, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks. You take care.
Karen Stouffer, Pro Bike. The motorcycles, always interesting to watch them go down the drag strip, and she is already locked into the countdown to 1, 5th in points, but it will be an uphill battle to unseat the powerhouses that are in front of her. But anything can happen, and especially this weekend at Indianapolis. There are always surprises when it comes to the U.S. Nationals, and we'll see what she can do. Hopefully the weather is going to cooperate this weekend. Hopefully the weather is also going to cooperate on the East Coast and the state of Connecticut, because this weekend it's the Lime Rock Park Historic Festival, their 30th annual. It is an outstanding event. We're going to talk with a gentleman who is the chairman of that event, Murray Smith. When we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Are you looking for the ultimate trail to hike? Maybe you're looking to do the ultimate backpacking adventure. Whether you're a day hiker or an all-out backpacker, be sure to tune in to Backpacking America's Trails with host Rob Maureen. We'll explore some of the most fascinating places on Earth. In addition, we'll talk about backpacking gear, including reviews, safety tips, and more. Our experts will share recipes, destinations, and skills to make backpacking the most enjoyable experience for you. Listen every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
If you have never been to Lime Rock Park in Connecticut, you are missing out on a trip of the lifetime. One, the area is absolutely beautiful. Two, it's an historic racetrack. And this weekend especially, it is a great time if you are a car nut, even if you're not. It's the Lime Rock Park Historic Festival. And joining me now is the chairman of that event, Murray Smith. Murray, welcome. And this is an unbelievable event you've got going on this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be one of the best ever, I must say. This is event number 30 for the Lime Rock Festival. And, you know, it's we've got Stirling Moss, we've got Formula One, we've got 300 cars racing. It's going to be terrific. And what's even better is the weather's beginning to look really good.
As I said, people that have never been to Lime Rock Park in Connecticut, it is so beautiful. That entire, I could just stop at the little towns and villages and shops around Lime Rock Park in Connecticut, and then you get to this beautiful facility that has so much history. And then to bring in the great cars that you are this weekend, it's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, I think it'll be, you know, particularly significant this weekend because we've got Stirling Moss coming, and he's, of course, Sir Stirling Moss, knighted by the Queen in England, and one of the, to my mind, probably the greatest all-round racing driver of all time. I mean, he's a guy who won rallies, he won Formula One races, he won, you know, the great long-distance sports car races like the Mille Miglia and the Targa Florio. He won track sports car races all over the place, particularly the Nürburgring and Goodwood. And he also, you know, he just won in everything. And he was, you know, named by everybody at the time as the man to beat. So he'll be with us. And that's a pretty astounding opportunity. In addition to that, we'll have a bunch of his victorious cars there, including, you know, a Van Wall, the Cooper with which he won the Argentine Grand Prix, the first ever rear-engined car to win a Grand Prix, other than the Auto Unions before the war, but that was another era. And then we'll have the Oscar, in which he won the Sebring 12-hour race, and a bunch of other cars, you know, Birdcage Maserati, D-type Jaguars, C-type Jaguars. So that'll be a terrific display on Sunday at our Sunday in the Park concourse.
Is Sterling going to get in a car and do any racing? I know this is a unique event because there's actually races going on throughout the weekend, along with the concourse and everything else that, that you have on tap.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not going to race. In fact, I was with him at Le Mans at the sports car race before the 24-hour race last year when he actually retired. I mean, he retired from serious racing back after his accident in Goodwood in 1962. But, you know, over the years, he raced a lot in touring cars, historic cars, and in a bunch of his own cars that he bought and competed in. But he drove a Porsche RS61 at Le Mans last year, and I remember him coming to me after he'd been out on that heroic circuit and saying, well, I think that's it. I don't need to do this anymore. So, but we'll probably get him out in the Oscar that he won the 12-hour race at Sebring with Bill Lloyd in 1964, and he'll do a couple of laps in that on Saturday and Monday. And then, of course, he'll be there all day on Sunday when we have the car show, as we're not allowed to race on Sundays up there because of local ordinances.
Yeah, people forget this is actually a park. When they say Lime Rock Park, it is a park. There are residences all around it. It is beautiful. And with the number of cars you've got, Sir Sterling Moss there, and the cars that you have on Sunday, I think it's over 200 cars that date back to almost the horse and buggy era. You have everything coming there.
Well, in the racing, we have 10 different groups which will go from pre-war, and probably the earliest car racing in that group is from the early 20s, right up till some sports cars, sports racing cars, and Formula One cars of the 70s. So that's about 310 cars in 10 groups, and there'll be, you know, Formula One, Formula Fords, sports cars, sports racing cars, GT cars, I mean, all kinds of different cars, Austin Healey's, Triumphs, Ferraris, Maseratis, Listers, you name it, we've got it. There are a couple of grids which are absolutely exceptional. The 50 sports car grid is as good as anywhere in the world. And then on Sunday, we'll have 250 invited entries for our Sunday in the Park concourse, which is for, you know, superlative cars of all kinds in 27 classes, all judged and with a, you know, fabulous awards ceremony at the end of the day. And then we have a thing called Gathering of the Marks, where we invite club members and, you know, affinity groups with Triumphs, Jaguars, BMWs, all sorts of makes, and they are parked in groups around the rest of the track, whereas the concourse is on the main straight. And for that, we've had as many as 500 cars. So you could have 700 cars on track on Sunday and 300 racing on Friday practice, Saturday, and Monday racing.
If you are a serious car enthusiast, this is almost too much to handle with all those cars that you... I mean, the makes...
Well, it's too much to handle as an organizer.
I bet so. But, I mean, you've got everything there. I wouldn't know where to go first to look at what with those types of cars, those historic cars that you have here, and the numbers that you have. It's just incredible in Lime Rock Park.
Yeah, it is terrific. And, you know, the interesting thing about historic racing like this is that the paddock is open. It's not like, you know, a Formula One race where you need, you know, some sort of special plastic pass to get in and look at the cars. Our paddock is open. The guys who own the cars generally drive them and are very proud of them and therefore are very happy to talk to everybody about what's going on and about their cars and about their enthusiasms, etc. So, you know, that is a very nice aspect of historic and vintage racing. At the same time, Lime Rock, as you say, is in its sort of hidden valley with nice hills around it and beautiful towns like, you know, Lakeville and Falls Village and Millerton, all these lovely little towns around, And the track itself has no grandstands. You can sit on the grass, you can walk around the entire circuit on a sort of indoor or inner path, so you can see the whole thing. And it's a really wonderful venue and very unusual.
Yeah, it is a great venue. I actually walked the entire track last year in about 85-degree weather. It is incredible, and the fans sit on the hillsides. They understand sports car racing. They are sports car enthusiasts through and through. A lot of the people that are my age, I'm past 30, if you didn't notice, that have grown up watching many of these cars race. It is like reliving your life over again, seeing these great cars in one place.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's rolling history, and when you add to that, you know, Sir Stirling Moss, I mean, he's a living legend. I mean, if you were to take American sports, I mean, he's Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle rolled into one. The guy is, you know, an absolute phenomenon. He's 82 years old now, but he's as sharp as a tack. And his lovely wife, Lady Susie, will be with him. And he's very, you know, accessible. He's going to be wandering around. He's going to do several autograph sessions. So I think he'll be a terrific addition. Then the group of Formula One cars from the 70s, from historic Grand Prix, will be a real thrill, because they make all the noises and they look just like the cars that Gilles Villeneuve and Alan Jones and Alan Prost and all these kind of people drove back in the 70s.
So, Murray, if someone's interested in going to Lime Rock Park, the historic festival this weekend, how do they go about it other than finding their way to Lime Rock Park there in Connecticut?
Well, you could either drive up or take a look at, you know, the Lime Rock Park website on the internet, and all the information is available there. You can even buy tickets on the website. And you can buy a ticket for the whole weekend, or you can buy it for Sunday only, or, you know, one-day tickets, and drive up, park, wander around. I mean, it's, as you say, it's a rolling museum.
Absolutely it is. Again, it's limerock.com, or I believe the phone number is 860-435-5000 for tickets. And if I was a little closer, Murray, I would be there this weekend to see that and wander around the cars, because there's nothing like reliving history of racing, those of us that have been around it, and just cars in general.
You're quite right. You should come, however far away you are.
Absolutely so. Well, Murray, congratulations on getting it all put together. I'm glad the weather looks like it's going to cooperate, and have, as they would say, a jolly old time this weekend.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Murray Smith, the chairman of the Lime Rock Park Historic Festival, presented by Jaguar, and Sir Stirling Moss going to be on it. I wish I really could go up there. It is a gorgeous little racetrack. Beautiful settings in Connecticut. I remember driving there last year from the Hartford Airport, and I must have been on every road in the state of Connecticut in these little towns and historic districts and little shops and beautiful trees and hills and a few lakes here and there. And then you get to Lime Rock, which is a park, and the beautiful up-and-down terrain there, and the fans are just so great. It should be an outstanding weekend with the hundreds upon hundreds of cars they're going to have. And if you are in the eastern part of the United States and you've got nothing planned this Labor Day weekend, maybe you want to head on over to the state of Connecticut and go to Lime Rock and check out this weekend's Lime Rock Park Historic Festival. For me, I'm going to go to the big go, the U.S. Nationals at Lucas Oil Raceway. Okay, I'll use the correct name this time around. It really is something to behold. Thousands upon thousands of fans, thousands upon thousands of competitors, because we've got all the people that run in the sportsman ranks, and they start like at 7 o'clock in the morning out on the track when the pro ranks don't do anything till 2-3 in the afternoon. You know, they get to sleep in, where all the non-professionals, the sportsmen, are out there very, very early in the morning. But it is great seeing all those people together and the fans that come out. And, of course, the paddock is wide open in NHRA. They just got guys to blow whistles, kind of move you out of the way, and they roll the cars right through the fans, and the fans continue to walk around. It is a great, great thing to see. And, of course, being in Indianapolis, which I lived and worked there, it's almost like a second home to me, and I live about 100 miles from Indianapolis now these days, a lot closer. So I'm looking forward to going there and renewing some friendships with a lot of the drivers and other people. Well, I'd like to thank all my guests today. Murray Smith, of course, with the Lime Rock Park Historic Festival that's going on. Tim Wilkerson, Karen Stopher from NHRA, Ryan Briscoe from IndyCar. Thank you for listening. We do this every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. PitPassUSA.com or VoiceAmericaSports.com will get you the show. PitPassUSA is the Twitter handle, and you can email me, Larry Henry of PitPassUSA.com. Until next week, take care, and don't forget to tune in next week to PitPassUSA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.